You open up this door before I tear up this plane.
Oh, respect our gangster.
Like the dice do, stay on the humble like Christ do. Piss stanzas and shite haikus. Since I was a young tycoon, tried to moonwalk like Michael. I understood the universe's cycles. Positive, negative, neutral. Impoverished kids on sedatives and never lived neutral. With reverends, presidents, movie stars, cinematographers, and producers. So standardized education in this current state is useful. I mean useless, pardon the slippage. The dead will probably target the jargon is gibberish. Meanwhile, I'm off in the stars, worn with Iblis. You see them atoms spinning, you see them waves shimmering. You see the wisdoms grinning, the masculine energy make them feel feminine. I transform, they start assembling, from Moab to Menden. Sitting bull is twisted, sitting ducks like Dutchess. Victory is in my clutches, motherfuckers. You can't touch this like Hammonim. I'm on autopilot, sipping Pinot Noir, eating Salomon. Brother with Fallon and the son of Marilyn. Chancellor of Hope, sharp like razor, clean like soap. The simplest metaphors be the dope. They stumbling out of focus, I spit that hocus pocus. Man, these niggas absolutely bogus. Your cockroach flow is hopeless, I'm on the ass like locusts.
Victory is mine, oh yeah.
In and out the studio, the flows unruly. So my attack level is way higher than Yu-Gi-Oh's. My defense level is in the trillions. So if you wanna duel, your rocket better be full up with fuel. Cause when you get here, I'll be on the stool cracking booze. And you'll be tired from the journey. So how you think that you could ever burn me? Man, these whack niggas don't concern me. Bring out the gurneys and some of my attorneys.
I wanna thank you for being so blind.
So blind.
You didn't know that it was my time. They should have told you
I am for the people.
And on my shoulder,
carrying the world.
Say yes, the victory is mine, oh yeah.
Well, my resolutions are to become the youngest heavyweight champion in history. That's nothing new to my fans. They all know that I will be the next heavyweight champion.
Which direction we are going, there's no knowing where we're rolling, or which way the river's flowing. Is it raining? Is it snowing? Is a hurricane a-blowing?
Now the speck of light is showing, so the danger must be growing. Are the fires of hell a-glowing? Is the grisly reaper mowing? Yes! The danger must be growing, for the rowers keep on rowing, and they're certainly not showing any signs that they are slowing!
If without the knowledge of history, we're lost. And therefore cannot calculate nothing. As a man without half the knowledge of mathematics, he cannot be. He is subject to a civilization who understands mathematics. Because it takes mathematics to build a civilization.
I was on the corner with Reem by Tipitina's. He said, Reef, what up, my nigga? I ain't see you since Katrina. Lil Mikey doing time for flashing lines in Pasadena. I tried to tell him chill and wait till niggas get they cream up. I ain't gon' lie, bruh. Niggas took that petty cash from FEMA and copped a couple choppers. Why? Cause coppers on the cleanup. You ain't know? They hittin' niggas left and right with bids. On the news, I seen the family of a grandma and some kids. They tore down where she lived for 60 years and told her, here goes a voucher for some powdered milk and Kleenex for your tears. You seen them tents outside of City Hall, that's where they live. A trailer in the park, a cardboard box under the bridge. They closed down all the projects, and all these wicked contractors can see is making profit. Insurance companies fucked us up the ass, nobody stopped it. That's why I'm yelling, fuck the world every time I let my Glock spit, my nigga, me ain't got shit. I spent the night in jail 3 times, it's cause I lost my ID. I went to Pastor Raphael, he said, son, thou shalt not kill. And I said, why me? He told me God gon' try me. And when I left the church, I heard the flashing lights and sirens. They say, let me see some RD. I said, yeah, sure, I'll oblige thee. Here, sir, that's my passport. They threw me on the gate, I said, man, why you go do that for? They said, cause you the son of slaves, your daddy was a bastard. I couldn't take no more jail. Click, clack, sprack, blast, blast, that's what they asked for. We laughed, he said, yeah, bruh, you feel where niggas come from. It's good to see your face again. Tell me what Elijah said about how we came from space again.
Once upon a time, they wrote history for 35,000 years. We are the writers, he says. We in the dark of people of Earth, who has been here since the universe was created, are the ones that actually record history of everything that takes place on the planet Earth. And the ones who know what has happened and what will happen. It is our own people. Isn't you better happy to be a member of people like that?
She never fell in love with a Superman, Christian, Muslim, Protestant, Lutheran. I told her that being immortal is the portal to the true nature of growth to Christ like Buddha, man. That's why I never spit the traditional garbage of a night fight, bright lights, white ice to the fans. The radio is just a stereo, like a house ain't a home, and the chairs that the chair acts Luther van. Go to work, go to church, let your dreams die. Bow tie, final call, and the bean pie. Yarmulke for Hanukkah, wish list for Christmas. This is the gist of the life that we lead. Why? So you can fit in with the closed minded in the city and to get clotheslined in the it end. I could care less about a plaque in the bid end to get punked on TV by my friend. Don't get a nigga wrong, I get tempted by the rewards that all come along with making nigga songs. But what does it mean if I'm a Muslim and you a Jew? And because of that alone, we don't get along. And when you talk like this and try to walk like this, the radio stations will never put a nigga on. Just Mims, just 50, just Wayne, just Jeezy and Franchise Boys and Jimmy Jones. Fuck that, fuck rap, this God hop. Kingdom music for the hard rocks. I'ma spit it, tell TRL, get it in hot. 97 hit a nigga with a bomb drop. X Flex, X Slay, X Who Kid. Just Blaze said Jig is the new kid. I took Eternal Sunshine and I looped there. No drums, no hook. Just new shit. Eternal sunshine of the spotless mind.
does he get it?
He doesn't.
Why not?
Because he broke the rules.
What rules? We didn't see any rules, did we, Charlie?
Wrong, sir. Wrong. Under Section 37B of the contract signed by him, it states quite clearly that all offers shall become null and void if, and you can read it for yourself in this photostatic copy,
I, the undersigned, shall forfeit all rights, privileges, and licenses herein and herein contained, etc., etc., fax mentis, incendium gloria culpum, etc., etc., memo bis punitor delicatum. It's all there, black and white, clear as crystal. You stole fizzy lifting drinks. You bumped into the ceiling, which now has to be washed and sterilized, so you get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
The handling of a heart's a very delicate art, cause it's paper thin. Any relevant thought that started out as a spark could be a poisonous dart that leaves a permanent mark that's ice cold in the day and burns in the dark and makes you never want to see her face again. Tee hee, what a place I'm in. Lead me to the station I'm in. A one-way ticket, don't look back. One cold tear that froze and cracked. A whole lot of pain I'm holding back. Chef said, F that, roll the sack. I said, if my skull was cracked and blood ran out to the cul-de-sac, that could not match me where I'm at. My memories flash me there and back. Yep, there goes me right there in black. Hold her hands, not staring back. She starts crying, I start denying it. It's my fault and I'm aware of that, man. In hindsight, signs be glaring back. Where's the map to show you where you're at? I can hear the crowd yelling, I can smell the tire smoke. I can hear the starter pistol, where's the track? Ring no answer, came home late. Jane told Dick she had a date. But they's just chilling, and at that moment the right brain says to the left, just kill him. Make the headlines, make the front page. While out in the courthouse, man, thrill him. They'll say the boy dead wrong, but I feel him. Chicken bone, I can make a thunderstorm from a light rain. My ears start ringing, my nose get bloody. I feel a little bit of pressure on my right brain. Intermission, transmission, put me in submission. Glistening, trapped in the light prison. Whistling, the Christ told me come closer to the light, man. I went blind, woke up in front of a mic stand. Voodoo man, tap dancing in the French Quarter, walking on water with a scroll in my hand. The blueprints for a dish-shaped light vessel that was chiseled out of metal off the coast of Japan. Fasting on the top of a mountain out into postland. Saw a shiny object floating out of the ocean. I'm sort of like a postman. You can get the message if you want to understand from the raps.
On November
7th,
saw this disc-shaped object floating above the sea concourse of the United
man,
Airlines.
Civilized and savage, criticized very low the parish, spreading false doctrine, terrorized the cleric, carrying on nonsense, specialized lies to paralyze
like
the conscience.
Voodoo
man, chit-chatter, abacadabra, spitting out matter while I'm shitting out data. Chew them up, shitting out rappers, sipping color greener while I'm giving out matches. Set yourself on fire, let the wisdom of Elijah purify you. Take a nigga higher, sold your soul to the highest. By your now, you're on the wire, talking about two-foot tires. Saying you sell crack, clapping at cats with Max, but you a liar, pants on fire. Same old rugged cross, different crucified Messiah.
Don't get me wrong now, don't make a mistake in thinking that I'm telling you this was the beginning of the man on the earth. 50,000 years ago is like telling you 30 days ago or 10 days ago or 5 days ago to the age of the universe. We have no exact record of it, but it runs way into the trillions.
While you was blowing X amount of dollars on a bracelet, the sovereign nation of France was opening their files on the UFO phenomenon, i.e. spaceships. It's just the facts, Jack, may as well face it. Every rhyme I write, I still get cracked in the chapter of Revelations. An atom get cracked in the blackness of meditation. Mysterious shit, call me Jay Dogon, I'm on some serious shit. Scholars wonder why do he bust. Allah bless me with a mighty sea touch. Everything I lay the hands turn to Ethiopian gold, shiny and buffed. I got a firm understanding on the minus and plus. So I ain't got time to argue with a rap about how he ain't got rhymes that's fucking with mines. I'm trying to kill Lucifer, so if I have to break cause a rap in my face telling me that he the great, you could bet a shiny Nikolai blast his motherfucking ass way past Jupiter. You couldn't be stupider fucking with the nuke. Mayan, Aztec lion, Asiatic black man from Zion, Quetzalcoatl supreme, letting off steam, dimethyl tryptamine, make a man dream. But y'all would much rather hear me rapping about trash, the size of Erica's ass, blunts and cash. We need saving, minds are consumed with swine, we need
hold
bang.
On tight. I'm not exactly sure what's going to happen.
Faster, faster. If we don't pick up enough speed, we'll never get through.
Get through what?
Uh-huh.
You mean we're going
up and out?
But this room is made of glass. It'll shatter into 1,000 pieces. Or we'll be cut to ribbons.
Probably. Hold on, everybody. Here it comes.
Yeah, this is a special edition. January edition 2008 GP with J Electronica. And it's a real pleasure to have you down here at Brownswood.
It's a pleasure to be here. It's a pleasure to be here. Honor.
So, I just heard Act One in full. Without any additional bits thrown in, and it's a fantastic piece of music, man.
Oh man, thank you. It's an honor, especially coming from you.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, and you know, most people when they put out the first song, it's usually 3 minutes long, but you went straight in for a heavy hit with about 40 minutes, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I just. Like for a long time, I've been doing this since I was a kid, but in professionally, I've been striving to do it for some years and just trying to conform to a certain extent. And I just learned, I'm at a stage in my life now where I just, you know, I'm just like, well, I'm not conforming. I'm just going to do what I feel like doing, what makes me feel good, what satisfies me. And then, you know, this was act one was, you know, it felt good. I did it and I didn't want to chop it up. I didn't want to do anything to it. And I just wanted people to experience it like I experienced it, you know?
So tell me about your history, because you're coming from New Orleans, or New Orleans.
Yes, sir, New Orleans.
Tell us about the difference in the separation between New Orleans and New Orleans.
Well, it's just a matter of accent. Like, you know, different parts of the cities, you'll hear people saying New Orleans, you'll hear people saying New Orleans. And then, like, even my mother, I just heard her say today, you know, and she says New Orleans. You know, which is kind of a weird way to say it too, but it's just a matter of, like, you know, it's just like here, where you can hear different accents, just like hearing different accents back at home. You know, you can hear not just the accent, just the slang that somebody uses, whether they're from across the river or from the Ninth Ward or from the Seventh Ward, uptown, different projects or whatever. You know, it's different things.
So until when were you living there?
What'd you say?
Until when were you living in New Orleans?
When was I living there?
Yeah,
born and raised. You know, born from the day I came out of my mother's womb. It was New Orleans, and I didn't leave New Orleans until I graduated high school, and, you know, just kind of like set out, you know, to find my way, you know. So, the first half of my life has been there, you know.
So what was going on, for example, for you? It must have been very painful during the whole Katrina period. Was your family still there at the time?
Yeah, they were still there at the time. And actually, I was actually in Detroit recording with Denine, Mr. Porter, at the time. And I saw in the news, you know, that it was a hurricane. And to be quite honest, you know, I didn't really pay much attention to it at first because a hurricane is a common thing in New Orleans every year. You know, it's hurricane season, storm season, you know. So, you know, people, one thing I hear people say a lot is, oh, I can't believe that people heard the warning and they didn't leave. And but you have to be there to understand, you know, oh, it's a hurricane. We'll go to the store, get some bottles of water and put some tape on the windows and, you know, sweat it out. But it just so happened that this was, you know, and I want to be clear, too. It wasn't necessarily the hurricane that destroyed the city. It was actually the breaching of the levees. Which is very weird, the points where the levee broke, you know, and it's a lot of controversy on that point as well. I won't get into any of that. But, yeah, you know, I was in Detroit. My family was there. So when it all happened, I couldn't fly to New Orleans. So I flew to Atlanta. And my mom, I had to convince them to leave. Well, my mom, she was kind of ready to leave. But my grandmother and my aunts and my cousins, they were, you know, they used to it, you know, so they were convinced to leave, so they drove up to Atlanta, so they made it out safe, you know. For a minute, we had a couple of people that we didn't know where they were, as far as my immediate family, but we got in touch with them a few months later, and to this day, though, I still have friends and family that, you know, I have no idea where they are, no way to get in touch with them, you know. Some people have died, you know. I mean, it's a very emotional thing.
And the song that you gave us before the Act One was a new song.
Yeah, that's a new song, actually, because I have been gone for a while. You know, I have been in the pursuit of music and just in the pursuit of just learning my own self and just trying to become a better person, just traveling. I hadn't been planted at home for a while. And for the past maybe 4 or 5 months, this has been the first time I've been home for an extended period of time. And when I was there, you know, just to drive, it's 2 years later, you know, and there's certain parts of this, like if you land in New Orleans and leave the airport and just drive to the Central Business District and then just drive to like the nice areas, you wouldn't even know that a hurricane ever happened. But when you veer off the path, it looks like it happened yesterday, you know, and not only that, just the way that the city is structured now, you know, it's just amazing, you know. So I really wanted to do a song about it. And a brother of mine's Kareem, who I did music with, he's an engineer and producer in New Orleans from the Night Ward. We had worked years ago and everything, and I hadn't seen him or heard from him. I didn't know where he was, how to get into, and I ran into him, you know, and we were happy to see each other. Then he came to visit, and you know, for Thanksgiving or whatnot, and he was just telling me, you know, all of these stories, like, yo, people, you know, friends, like, Lil Mikey, he locked up now, and he this place, and we don't know where he, you know, so it just moved me. And actually, the music for the name of the song is When the Levees Broke, and the music for the song is just what music was just on in the background at that time. And I just, you know, I said, okay, well, I'm going to use this because it was emotional, you know. But just a little short offering into another side, kind of, you know, the kind of side that you don't really see on the news, and, you know.
So when I first heard Act One, I thought it was really interesting in terms of production, the way you were taking these sounds and the arrangement of it all, something that I haven't really heard from the hip-hop perspective very much. I've heard instrumentalists doing that kind of music to a degree, but then you were tying that up with your lyrical sense. So that's what makes it so unique and so special. And in a way, I'm sort of hearing a lyricist, I'm hearing a rapper, but I'm also hearing a producer when I meet you. Which is the bit which is kind of most important? Is it the whole thing together?
Yeah, it's kind of all, you know, all together. Like, I do production, but I all look at it as hip-hop, because, like, really, like, you know, and that really is what hip-hop is. Like, growing up, for me, hip-hop was who could be the most creative, you know? Like, you know, somebody, it wasn't just rhyming, and it was beats, it was always beats, boom, baps, rhyming, and the DJ, but it was creative. Who could spin with their elbow and make the crazy sound with the records, or who, you know, it was just always who was the most creative. And I feel like that's something that's been lost, you know, because everything is just kind of like, you know, I think Tom York said it best when he just described music in general was just like refrigerator buzz, like just a constant monotone hum, you know. But I just wanted to as a hip hop artist, because I do consider myself a hip hop artist, I'm a rapper, I'm always going to be a rapper. I just wanted to kind of like peel off the scab of, you know, what hip hop is considered today, and just be like, look, man, let's be creative, you know, let's take it to where, because it's time to evolve. The music has always been an evolutionary, revolutionary type of music that has kind of evolved and kind of broke down barriers of social class status and race, you know, and the potential hasn't been reached. And, you know, I want it as whatever I can do to aid, to progress it forward. I just want to do my part, you know.
I mean, there haven't been many names. I can't think of any, actually. Step in if I, you know, just to help me out here. But I know that you've got the Meters and you've got some amazing brass bands and sort of Aaron Neville and people like that out of New Orleans. But in terms of hip-hop, I can't really kind of think of any names.
Well, yeah. Well, see, you know, well, first of all, I would have to go back to old school, because one thing in New Orleans is like a... New Orleans is like a third world country, and you know, it's in the South, but back at home, New Orleans is not like say if you go to Atlanta or you go to Texas or Alabama or Florida, New Orleans isn't like that because of where it is and because of the migratory patterns of people that come from like Southern America, Central America, Panama, Honduras, and all this. And it's got its own culture, and it's so poverty stricken that, you know, anytime you go to a poverty stricken area, there's always going to be people doing things that you didn't see, like playing basketball on milk crates. So with music, it's like that. And growing up for me in New Orleans, some of the first rappers that I heard were like, they had people in New Orleans who was like Rakim to me, you know, like Tim Smooth, and you know, they had Buzz Down, even Manny Fresh, who's part of Cash Money now. For a long time, he used to produce and DJ. He was DJ Manny Fresh with a guy named Gregory D, and you got Master P, No Limit. That's a whole nother side. You had the whole Cash Money, Juvenile, BG, Lil Wayne, who's also taking it to another level at the same time. And that New Orleans has just always had. And even if you listen to Lil Wayne now, like the cadences that he used, you know, maybe I know people, I hear complaints about the subject matter, the repetitiveness of the subject matter, but he's a genius. And if you listen to the cadences that he uses, it's all based like second line, you know, it's if you get to New Orleans and get a chance to experience New Orleans, you'll have a whole different perception of the music. You know what I mean?
Hip-hop. I mean, and the other thing about New Orleans is that you've got this kind of incredible jazz heritage there. Does the radio station situation differ because of the sort of original sound of New Orleans? Is it a different sort of, or was it, to other cities?
Well, it took a long time for me to really... It took me to leave New Orleans to really learn this. New Orleans, they only play local music in New Orleans on the radio. Even the main, whether it's the hip hop station, you know, of course now because of programming, and you know, you're gonna get your whatever in the top eight, you're gonna hear little spices of that. But majority of the day, you're gonna hear local artists. You know what I'm saying? That's just what New Orleans is. And like the jazz station, you know, mainstream. What you would call like the Billboard stations or whatever, they don't really play too much jazz. There's stations that have play jazz, you know, and it's great jazz, you know, because I mean, like there's record shops in New Orleans where you could go get records that don't have names on them. You don't know who the artist is. It's just good jazz. You don't know what it is though, you know. But in terms of radio, you know, there's a good collage of things going on. On like the AM stations, and you know, and not to knock the FM or the main stations, because those guys do their thing too, you know. But
we were talking a lot yesterday, hanging out, and you were telling me, you know, it's amazing how somehow America's a huge place, and New Orleans is not New York. Mm-hmm. And each city's got its own little flavors, and that's why I think it's really impressive that, you know, you've come through a non obvious place, and you've managed to make your way through to working now on Erykah Badu's brand new record label, which is called
Control Freak.
Yeah,
Q, Control Freak.
So, how did you two meet, and how did you kind of, how did that sort of, who kind of first heard your stuff? Did you put some records out before Act One? Are we unaware of some stuff?
Yeah. Well, actually, you know, I had like, some years back, I did a record on a record label called Boston Family Record Label with Larry Barnwell, and it was called The Awakening. I had some records on that, and just since then, I just, you know, for the past couple of years, I had just been kind of just doing songs and just putting them out, like whether, you know, the internet has been a big aid in just putting stuff out, you know, and I've had people that have been kind of like following different things. But in terms of me meeting Erykah, we actually, you know, we met. We met through Supernova, which she mentions on the beginning of Act One in the intro. However, the catalyst was Ringo Tumbling Dice Rashad Smith. He's like a phenomenal producer. He's a DJ. You know, he's produced all her records, but he's produced for Biggie Smalls, LL, all kind. You know, Rakim, you name it, from the old school to present. But he, the last time I went to New York, I guess it's like 2004, I had a feature in the Source magazine, Unsigned Hype or whatever, and a friend of mine, DJ Soul Messiah, introduced me to Rashad. And he introduced me in turn to Big Mike because he said I needed management, Michael Knight. And Michael Knight kind of like handles the road management side of things for Erica. You know, she handles everything herself. She's like a one-man government, you know. But a one-woman government, really. But it was through Michael Knight, and we actually met the weekend of the block party. And then, like, a few days after the block party...
What, the movie?
Yeah, the movie. The Michelle Gundry, Dave Chappelle. We met, like, that weekend, and then a few days later, Supernova actually brought me to her apartment, which is where we actually had a chance to engage each other on dialogue and just different things, music or whatever. But she had heard the music at that point from Rashad and from Supernova.
You know what? Let's play a couple more bits that you've brought with you. There's loads coming, right? There's going to be loads of J Electronica stuff ahead. I mean, you were showing me some photographs. You've been doing some recordings of Act 2 already.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Act 1 is not actually going to come out officially for a while, or...?
Yeah, well, you know, I got people asking for Act 1, you know, and they want to do an official release of it, but I kind of like the space that it exists in. You know what I mean? It's kind of because I did it. Actually, I wrote Act 1 and I originally recorded it in Erica's apartment in Brooklyn. She let me stay there. She was in Dallas at one time. I was in New York and I needed a place to stay. She let me crash there. I recorded it. And then I went to Detroit with my man Mike Chavarria, who's like, he's like the second half of J Electronica. J Electronica is really like we say, Gangstar, Primo and Guru. Michael Chavarria is really like my right. He makes it sound good. He adds the bits and pieces. You know, he's my right hand go to man. And I went to Detroit and we put it together. And you know, when we put it out, I was kind of nervous at first because it was so weird. I had a lot of people telling me, "Oh man, this is, you know, yeah, you kind of going left and da da da." But I just kind of put it up on the MySpace, like, okay, well, whatever, you know. And it caught fire. You know, so I kind of like the way that it exists.
So how
now.
Do you know it catches fire? Because you're getting all these messages coming back. Yeah. To you. You're seeing how many people are uploading it. And
yeah. Okay. Before Act 1 on my MySpace, you know, I was getting hits daily. You know, not a lot though. When I say if I would put a new song up and put a bulletin out, you know, of course, and I was on Erica's top 8 and I was on Just Blaze's top 8, so I had continuous traffic that was coming, you know, and I would put up different songs or whatnot.
Is it really important to be in other people's top 8s?
Well,
it probably was, right? Especially Erica's got like 2 billion hits or something.
I mean,
right?
you would be amazed at how much traffic goes through,
right,
like an Erica's page or a Just Blaze's page daily, you know what I mean? And they, people, you know, People have always wanted to know what goes on in an artist's life. So, you know, they see you, oh, these are the top friends. Well, let me click and see what this person does or see who is this person, you know. So I was getting a lot of traffic that way and, you know, a lot of self-promotion just going on different message boards and, you know, putting up stuff. But how I knew that Act 1 was something else was because, you know, I had a steady flow of traffic, you know, which was a good amount. But when Act 1 came out immediately, say about a week later... Okay, first, Act 1 started out as just Eternal Sunshine, the first one. The song Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. And I put that up first. And then when we put it up in its entirety, it kind of, you know, so big shout to MySpace, too.
It's amazing how it sort of helped things out. And it's funny because in a strange way, it's not such a long way away, in a sense, to Electric Circus, the Common album, right? Because when he made that record, nobody really gave it credible. It didn't sell, right? And everyone was like, "Here's." But actually, if you listen back to that album,
that's a great album.
It's a classic.
Yeah, it's a great album. Yeah.
And maybe if there had been MySpace more prevalent then, he could have. But I think one of the great things about online and things like MySpace and what have you is that it does allow you, the artist, total and utter freedom of doing exactly what you want to do. There's no one telling you you've got to make it 3.5 minutes and there's got to be a chorus after 30 seconds, right?
Right, yeah. And another thing, too, about the internet, too, MySpace and just the internet in general is that, like, say, like, me as a rapper, I had my boom bap songs, whatever, you know, which I love doing. That's the core of me. But outside of the internet, you have to just walk on the same street. Like, if Act One had just been delivered straight to a certain audience, it may have not taken. Like, if I take Act One back to my neighborhood, they don't want to hear that. You know what I'm saying? But because somebody from Iowa, somebody from this place, and then the people from my neighborhood see that response from those people, and they say, oh, well, maybe, you know, let me check this thing out. So that's another beautiful thing about the internet. You know what I mean? You kind of the chains get taken off, and you can kind of say, okay, well, I'm gonna go down a few different streets, you know, and go to a few different neighborhoods, as opposed to just put music out of my own quote unquote genre. You know what I mean? Because genre is a kind of confining word too.
What was the first track we played? The one before the Katrina song, the very opening track we played on this thing. With the vocals.
Oh yeah, "Victory Is in My Clutches" was produced by Madlib and also peace, Madlib. Don't get mad at me because I actually got that off a beat CD from Guilty, and I had never got. I had, by the time I recorded that and released it, I didn't even know Madlib at the time. But since then, as you know, it's my brother now, family. But "Victory Is in My Clutches" is Madlib and a female vocalist named Tone Treasure from Michigan, who is absolutely phenomenal. I mean, she's written for all. I mean, I'm not gonna say names because I don't know what kind of agreements they have, but she's phenomenal. You know.
Okay, let's play another track. This is track 3 on the CD. Don't know what it is. Haven't got anything written on it. Do you know?
Yeah, I don't even know which order we put them in.
Should we just play it?
Okay, yeah.
Like a whirlwind pyramid, word to D.O.C., nigga, the lyrics here. Terrestrials in the chest where the spirit lives. You're not fucking with the best extra, extra. Read all about the extra Tourette's with Tourette's. They all wait in line for what's next. Abracadabra, the crowd went deaf. Eyes went stage right, but I went left. And one single bound went from NYS. P-A-C-E man, the MP3 man to MTV man. All by the willpower of my gray skull like He-Man. See man, I'm much better than these young fucks running amok yelling veteran. Arms too short for them to sport them a letterman. So just chill young Pedowin, I'll guide you in the ways of the force. The crowd will stand idle in amazement of course. So lounge on the drama. Take that, nigga. They say I'm Kevin Spacey, K-Pax, nigga. One mic, one show, three acts. It's a masterpiece. Harass the beast until he throw down his sword.
Okay, one more time.
Till he throw down his rod. T-minus 10 till he throw down with God.
One of the most mysterious books ever written is the Book of Revelation or the Apocalypse. This book reveals the future of the world and your part in it. The Book of Revelation, the last book in your Bible, features apocalyptic symbols and secrets.
So another Madlib.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Madlib, man, he got a lot of joints. He got a lot of joints too, and a lot of times, I'll hear records that he's done. Like he has, you get on iTunes and purchase the records that he's done that you may not even have known about, and they got so many jewels on them. I'm a pillager. I'm an old school rapper. If I hear something I like it, I'ma get on it. If it was on your record, I don't care. You know, hope you don't be offended by it. And then I kind of just reach out and be like, yo, I used that joint, you know. But I got some special Madlib stuff coming too.
Did you ever work with JD?
Well, you know what? I never had a chance to work with JD. Work together in the studio, and I've only actually met Dilla twice. The circle that I was in Detroit, Johnny Laz, Mike Chavarria, Denine Porter. You know, that's all. It's Guilty Simpson. It's the whole JD circle. But my interaction with JD was only based upon Mike Chavarria, who I was telling you about earlier, and my brother of mine, Johnny Lass, they actually built Dilla's studio. And we, again, you know, had the Dilla Beat CDs, and I would just record songs on them. Me and Chav would record songs on them. And the first time I met Dilla was, we were getting ready to go to New York to try to get a deal or whatever. This, I guess this is like 2003, maybe. I think it was 2002, 2003, something like that. I can't remember. But we went over there because I wanted to say, I wanted him to hear what I had did on his music, and I really wanted to get his opinion, you know, so forth and so on. And we went over there, played it for him, and I just wanted to ask his permission to actually take it to secure a deal, you know. And actually, a lot of the beats that's on the Diligence, the Busta Rhymes joint, they did just the Diligence, I murdered them joints a long time ago. And since he did that, I'm going to put some of them joints out. But anyway, big shout to Busta, too, because he's a phenomenal MC. But yeah, that was the first time I met Dilla, and you know, he said, "Yo, you crazy, da da da, you ready, this and that." And so we always was gonna work. Then I left Detroit, and then time lapse and everything. And then when I first signed with Erica, she was saying, "Well, who do you want to record with?" And I was like, "Well, I want to do Dilla, I want to do Just, you know, because Just is a brother of mine's, Mr. Porter the Nine, of course." And at the time, Kareem Riggins, who was another brother of mine's, I spoke to Dilla on the phone. He was ready for me to come into LA and work, and the time that I was supposed to go out there, he had got sick. This wasn't the time that he actually passed, but he had gotten ill. He was in the hospital, and we didn't get a chance to work. And then time lapsed in between again, and he passed. You know, so I regret that I never had the chance to actually work with him.
What made you end up in Detroit for a period of time? Did you sort of want to go there because of the music?
You know what's a weird thing is because you don't really think about Detroit in terms of music. You would have to sit down and actually reflect over the music that's come out of Detroit to really say, oh man, you know what, there's something strange going on here with music. And I hadn't really thought about that, but my Detroit connection is Johnny Lass, who's a brother of mine's. I met him in 1998. I was working in Atlanta with a brother named Kool Ace, who's like a hood legend, hood superstar in Atlanta. You know, he gave birth to a lot of cats that are, you know, jazzy, a whole bunch of cats. But anyway, and I met Johnny through him. I met Johnny through him, and Johnny is from Detroit. And he was always saying to me back then, he always said, you know, I want to be in music. I'm going to build a studio. Me and my brother Jamal, we're going to build a studio in Detroit, so forth and so on. And outside of music, we just formed a real tight bond. You know what I'm saying? You know how sometimes you go through things in your life, and at that moment, you get that person who's just like, oh, man, I'm so glad I have this person in my life to lean on and to communicate with and confide in. He's been that for me. He's been that for me since then. But after maybe like 1999, I moved to Denver, and I was in Denver, and I lost track communication with Johnny. No way to get in touch with him or anything like that. And we hadn't seen each other for years. I was living in Philadelphia. It was the year of 9/11, and a brother of mine's, Ali, who was working at a barbershop on Temple University's campus, and it was a sister in there named Aziza, who was from Detroit. And, you know, I was just talking to her, and she was like, "You know what? You remind me of my friend Johnny in Detroit." And I was like, "Johnny, you know, does he have a brother named Jamal?" She was like, "Yeah, you know, it was Chris." I was like, "You know, can you give me a number to get in contact with him?" Da, da, da. So she gave me a number to Guitar Center, where he works at Guitar Center in Detroit. They call him the mayor of the city. He's like the music, if you deal with music in Detroit, you know Johnny. But anyway, so I called him up. He was like, "Man, you know, it's good to hear from you. I got a studio." You know, years had passed, and he'd always say, he was like, "I got a studio now. Come out. When you coming?" And I dropped everything I was doing, quit my job, left my apartment, got on the Greyhound bus, and went out there the next day. And I stayed out there, for, I guess, for like a year. You know, and that's like the time when I really met. And it was through Johnny that I met Mike Chav, met Denine Porter, who's also another brother. And I learned a lot from him in terms of music. He's a musical genius. You know, a lot of times because of his label situation and the demands of music that people want today in hip hop, he caters to that. But he has treasure chests full of things that'll blow your mind. I mean, just a music connoisseur, they'll eat this guy up. They'll love this guy.
I mean, I've been, as I was saying earlier on, sort of hanging with you for a few days now. And one of the things that I thought was incredible was your hotel ran out today, actually, which is the Holiday Inn in Shoreditch. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, why don't you just, you know, and we were speaking, and you said, no, I want to go to YMCA, right?
Oh, hostel, yeah.
Hostel, mm-hmm. And I was like, well, why don't you just stay in the hotel, you know? It's, mm-hmm. And you said, no, because I want to meet people. And the one thing that I thought was amazing, especially just seeing the way you've been with me and just around people, is that you're absolutely fascinated by people, and you want to just meet people, and you're a completely instinct guy. So I can imagine someone going, come to Detroit, and you go there, and then you end up there for a year. I can kind of see that.
Yeah. That's kind of how it was, too. And they had the studio that they built. I lived at that studio for like half a year almost, you know, and crashing from place to place. I even had a song about, you know, sofa to sofa, couch to couch, basement to basement, you know, and it's kind of been, you know, and I really never open up about this kind of thing. Erica beats me in the head over it, you know, because she's a big sister to me and everything, and I love Erica, you know, and a big part of it, too, is I guess I have a childlike tendency, too, when it comes to responsibility and everything, too. I guess, you know, that's a part of it. But also a part of it is I just like the freedom and be able to go and meet and experience. Because, like you said, you know, people, it's amazing. You meet somebody, just the way they laugh, talk, and the things that if when you really get a chance to, when they, I'm not talking about their job or whatever's going on, to actually hear what a person is thinking and what actually is inside, it's an amazing, it's a gift. It's a beautiful thing. It's an honor. It's a blessing. You know what I mean?
For me, it's kind of surprising because I'm so used to dealing with musicians who've, you know, if they're up to a certain level or whatever you want to call it, they expect a certain thing. So I'm like, okay, is this going to be good enough? Is this going to be the good enough standard? And you've been the total opposite of that. And in a way, and obviously, it's working out really well for you in your career and everything. And I mean, I suppose from a creative point of view, you need to stay with that approach, right? Mm-hmm. I mean,
well, you know what's funny is because while I'm moving around and everything, I'm learning and I'm experiencing, and that's part of the creative process too. But actually, when it comes out, is when I'm actually still for a moment. In the moments when I'm actually still, you know, or something that happens in my life or circumstance and events that keeps me still and grounded for a second, is when the creativity actually comes out, or even if you want to call it creativity, because to me it's not really creative. It's just me, you know, writing down my thoughts or making something I like or stealing something from somebody and chopping it. You know, it's not like Picasso painting, you know, or like, you know. So, but when that stuff happens, you know, it's just like the times when I'm kind of stable. But I guess everything that I have experienced in the interim is kind of like a gel that comes out at that point. You know, I don't know.
Let's give you another track. Let's get on to it. So, yeah, the last one was another Mad Lib. We don't know what's on this CD exactly, in what order it is or anything like that. But this is J Electronica with GP. It's January 2008, and it was the Worldwide Awards a few days ago. It was great. And here's another track. I don't know if we've played... No, we haven't played this one. Let's go. What do you think it is? What do you think track four is? You haven't got headphones on, I have.
Okay, how many are on?
3 minutes 13 is the time. You should know what it is just by the time. Although some of your tracks, they don't actually... They finish before the end time, don't they? It's a bit upset.
Okay, let me see. Maybe it could be... It could either be A Prayer for Michael Vick and T.I., because I thought that was going to be the last one, but it wasn't. It was Extra Extra. This could be A Prayer for Michael Vick for T.I. or Hard to Get.
Hang on, let's just have a quick second. You can't... Hang on. Okay. Let's check it. Yeah, we've had this one before, actually. Yeah. You gave me that a while back.
Yeah, and because this is, okay, just like with Act 1, before Act 1 in its entirety came out, I just put out Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind and just, like, let that linger for a while so you could kind of get an idea of the overtone and the undertone of what it was going to be, and this kind of, like, set the standards, you know. I originally named it San Pellegrino with Lemon, but I renamed it Michael Vick and T.I. because that's what I had in mind when I wrote it. Well, not T.I. at the time, because that's sort of current, but Michael Vick... Everything that's going on in the States with Michael Vick right now, you know, I'm not saying, you know, I know dog lovers might want to cut my head off when I say what I'm getting ready to say, you know, yeah, okay, yeah, that's a bad thing, fighting dogs and killing dogs, you know, but I mean, come on, man, they got him doing time in jail for fighting these dogs and harming these dogs, which is a crime, okay, it's a bad thing, I'm not condoning that.
Hang on a minute. I'm just trying to get this one because I'm living in London. Michael Vick, is he the baseball? The
football player. He's a quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons.
And he got done for dog fighting business.
Okay, right? Now, but at the same time, you can go to the racetrack and bet on the Greyhound dogs. And when these dogs can't race no more, they put them down and they kill them. You can go to the horse race and bet on these dogs. Where's Peter then? Where's the Supreme Court then? Let's march these fucking presidents of these racetracks. Why are they not getting the time that Michael Vick is getting? You know what I'm saying? So it's almost like... It's almost like we're going to make an example out of you, you know. Fuck that, man. You know, I mean, if it was across the board, if you're going to march my man from the racetrack up there, okay, peace. If you're going to, you know, the same thing with T.I. That's why I named it, and then T.I. was current. So I named it A Prayer for Michael Vick and T.I. because the same thing. I'm not condoning T.I. going out purchasing the guns and all this stuff. And people, oh, yeah, well, you know, he's getting silences. So, you know, that means he was trying to kill people and da da da. Okay, yeah, fine. You know, yeah, guns. It's a crime to have guns. It's breaking the law. Okay, T.I., you know, be a little more wiser in your decision making. That's my brother, though. At the same time, T.I. ain't making no guns. T.I., did he go to the gun factory and buy those guns? Where did he, if it's a war on guns, if it's war on street violence, okay, let's go to the docks. These military issue, if I'm walking the street with a military issue weapon, how did I get it from the military? Did I go to the base and kick in the door with my homies from the hood and get it? I mean, let's really, you know, it's bullshit. You know what I mean? They're not really dealing with the root. They're just dealing with, you know, and it's kind of like kind of criminalizing a certain population and you want to make rap or you want to make a certain class of people look a certain way, you know? So that's what this song came from. And Minister Farrakhan is on the beginning from the Black State of the Union address. And what he was speaking on was, what he's saying in there is, you know, like, just talking as a black community, like, you know, yeah, we have our issues and we have our faults, but you're not here dealing with real problems, so let us deal with our problems. Let us deal with it our way. We don't get in your business, you stay out of ours. Don't come pick Michael Vick out because he's fighting dogs and come parade him and put him in jail and all this kind of stuff. And then Dick Cheney is the vice president of the United States, was out hunting animals and shot a man in the face. You understand what I'm saying? And you talking about Michael Vick? You got a hell of a nerve.
If my rhetoric is too strident, who better to correct me than my brothers and my sisters? If I need to be brought in line or refined, who better to do it than the members of my own family?
Hold your head and come down.
We don't get in your family business. You stay out of ours.
I never got shook up by talks of Illuminati. I'm from where niggas talk that talk and walk around the streets all day carrying heat like the human body. Stress, we master that. Death, we laugh at that. You niggas sweeter than the cognac. I never sleep, and when my eyes is closed, I'm in the deep battle for sheep. I'm an insomniac. And when it come to the rhymes, I hypochondriac. The flow so sickly, splash a hot round on them, peel off quickly. Luckily, man, one of you niggas could fuck with me. I hit you with a plus degree. Mind detect mind plus mind detect matter. With that, I say peace to the GOs and all my niggas locked away in cages, giving shit to the COs, doing long stretches on the track cause they fell into the trap of the Neos, the Farrakhan the rap, giving dap to the people, busting shots at the ego, with the arrows in his talent, sneaking shots when you peek through your peephole, spit the abracadabra, manipulate matter with a black magic created to eradicate evil. So if they call me a rapper, okay, yeah, I can dig it. But if they bring me before the Congress, then I can kick it. I send the devil to hell every time that I get wicked. I get to ayah, surah by surah, yeah, I get lifted.
People do say I'm cocky. Some say I need a good whooping. Some say I talk too much. But anything that I say, I'm willing to back up. I have fulfilled all of my prophecies. I'm up to date in all of my predictions. My train is running on schedule.
One for the money, two for the pussy and fame. 300 to go to the court to change my name. Like Cassius, the past just show me lessons. Stay on my grind and pray that time will show me blessings. Was my old model. I'm from the Magnolia Projects, where dice rollers and heroin addicts is role models. So I had no choice but to kick it to full throttle. My niggas in Philly, you probably tell you the ball's thorough. Now, either you with me or you with me. Cause even if you against me running with my enemies, they ain't nothing but mini-me's that I created long, long ago. And they only wanna cut off my lineage like the Kennedys. That being the case, you should be aware I blast many your face and left niggas displaced like Katrina did. And gave them very little or nothing like FEMA did. And I ain't never seen a bid. Well, there was one time with me and Ali tussled with one time for claiming our sovereignty as a nation and bloodline. You niggas should give a standing ovation to the MC who stands in the face of Satan, hitting them with creation. We'll be right back.
Yeah, I'm into that. That's some old Sean Phillips stuff, which...
You gotta let me get some of that before I go, man.
Yeah, it's a 15-minute track as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's good. It's good as a sort of...
That's good stuff.
Yeah. What's the state of hip-hop like at the moment for you, in truth? You know, like, where is it at? How does it feel being a hip-hop artist in 2008?
Well, you know, man, I'm gonna be honest with you, flat out, you know. No disrespect to anyone, because I respect the hustle, you know, like, because one thing you have to realize too is that a lot of cats really coming from like ground zero, desolate wasteland, poverty that you can't imagine, you know what I'm saying? And they got poor schooling, and really the school's in such conditions most cats won't even go to school. So rap music is kind of like a venue where, like 50 said a brilliant thing before. I heard him in an interview where he was saying, well, you know, you don't have to have a degree, you don't have to know how to read, you don't have to, which are things, the degree not necessarily is a necessity, but knowing how to read I believe is a necessity, you know. But as long as you can communicate, that's fine too, you know, because fuck the rules. We just human beings at the end of the day, whether you can read or not. But rap is one of the only venues where somebody that's coming from nothing, where they live at home with their grandmother, their aunt, their sisters, their cousins, everybody living in the same house, and you can either go get a job at Popeye's Chicken or some fast food place and make like fucking a couple of cents an hour. And I'm exaggerating, of course, but you can't live, you know what I'm saying? And then it's just a cycle. Well, okay, well, shit, I'm gonna be like this, and my children are gonna be like this. And okay, but I know how to be fly with the words and swagger. Da, da, da. So cats go get they cats may go hustle or work the job and get an MPC and bang out some music. So I understand the hustle, you know what I'm saying? So I try not to knock anybody because of the hustle. I understand the hustle, but then at the same time too, it is a creative art, and the creativity, there's some artists that's creative, you know what I'm saying, that's gonna always push the limits, that's gonna always deliver as a rapper, as MCs, as producers, as DJs. But just the general state of rap music right now is kind of like a dead fish just laying there on the beach stinking, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of these cats is whack flat out. They got some cats flat out that get the mic, they just whack. Where I come from an era where the art of rhyming, like what you're saying, and even if you, okay, let's say you just want to talk about drugs in your chain, okay. Back when Only Built for Cuban Links came out, Raekwon and Ghostface, the whole album is drugs, chains, chicks, da-da. But it was also, they also had substance in there too. It was, you know, it was like a social commentary too, along with that. But the poetry of it, if you listen to Raekwon and Ghostface, it's like Fyodor Dostoevsky, you know what I'm saying? It's the poetry of it, you know what I'm saying? That is kind of gone. And I think that I think that people that's coming up now in the music, because what they're being exposed to, they don't understand the importance of like the artistry of it, you know, the artistry of it. And because of that, it's just kind of like at a standstill. And the people that are doing it, that are being creative and are like going against the grain or whatever, is a ceiling on top of those cats that the whack cats are standing on, because it generates money. Because, and it's only, you know, in the labels, they'll tell you, well, this kind of music sells. Well, it sells because you're pumping it down the ears of the people all day long. If you actually put some of this shit on the radio, that would be selling a million times more than the stuff, you know. So it's kind of like a wicked cycle. But also, dissatisfaction brings about change. You know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that dissatisfaction brings about change. And I think that we're at a place right now, musically, hip-hop, we're speaking specifically, but in general, where it's at such a level that people are just like, fuck it, you know, I'm gonna do my own thing now, you know. And I think that we're headed to a good place. I think that we're headed to a good place. We'll be right back.
I need a break, y'all. I can't take this. I feel locked up and I wanna escape. And I wanna escape. And I wanna escape. And I wanna escape.
These days, a lot of niggas is whack. All I hear is who gon' bring New York back. The South is this, the South is that. Slinging crack in the white tee in the trap. Sipping Patron and Yak. Ringo hit me up on the jack and said, man, spit that spat and leave that chicken scratch for frickin' frack. Guru told me, slow up the flow, cause science and metaphors will slow up the dough. So here we go, G's up, hoes down. If rap was like blacks in the 60s, I'm a white cop in riot gear, ready to hose down. Memo to all, I'm setting you hoes down. I spring a sick round on any sick clown who wanna get down. From Nueva York to Chittown, Comprende. Whack rappers bow when they in the presence of the sensei. The flow is muy caliente. J-Dolph Spittler, Rap Hitler, One Man Militia. Burning niggas live with the scripture. The sound waves shake the dead in their graves. Pro Tools to import the session from the Richter. No wonder I'm the victor. If a thousand words is equivalent to a picture, then welcome to the cinema. A shot of wheatgrass in the enema. Who wanna style war with the emperor?
Come on everybody, let's rock the place.
You know what the problem with Bologna is, baby? She's too picky.
Oh, Daddy, she's got a right to be picky. She's a beautiful woman.
Yeah,
she's smart.
But she ought not to stay picky, because women that play hard to get don't get got.
Uptown Slim, him, who be hanging on the corner with them. Nevertheless, you looking good in the Anthropology dress. I might say yes, but you gotta realize you fucking with the best. Boo, I'm never ever stressed, man. Everywhere I rest, I get treated like a king. I'm the sire here. You can see it in the stars, the messiah's here. You can read it in them cards, the fire's here. Now, what's your name? So I can tell you who you are and why you came. That feel good, don't it? I could do you real good, put the hood on it. Now take that home and blow a bag of good on it. Google my name, the Eli in the morning. I'm J Electronica, the Black Adam. Setting shit on fire like a crack atom. Get at him, feel me.
I really wanna take you home. And make you feel so good. So why you sitting there all alone? When you look so good.
So good.
Don't you play hard to get with me?
No. I'm
for your games, baby. Soon you'll see.
Inventory, let's see. Pretty skin, pretty eyes. Itty bitty waist, pretty face, pretty thighs. I can take you to space and it's okay if your heart rate start racing. The stakes is pretty high. I normally don't chase, but hey, it's really nice to come out of the castle every once or twice. Yeah, to have a shake in the roll of the dice. Yeah, Deuce Fever. Still got it.
Got it.
I control the dance flow slow. It's just logic. You fucking with a professional. It's obvious. Tell me what you do for your skin. It's gorgeous. Pretty mannequin in the Gucci dress modeling. I'm a sovereign with land patents in Manhattan. Looking for a queen to get involved with. If it ain't broke, then don't bother it. Call it what you wanna call it. Just don't stall it. Feel me?
I really wanna take you home and make it feel so good. So why you sitting there all alone when you look so good? Don't you play hard to get with me?
Oh, girl.
I ain't for your games, baby. Soon you'll see.
You gotta play so hard to get.
Mm-hmm.
couple of final pieces from J Electronica, both absolutely top rated. Last one from Detroit.
Yeah, hard to get. Mr. Porter, again, denied. He's known as Con Artist. He's in D12. He's a member of D12. In the latter years, people have started to actually start to get more recognition as a producer. I mean, and you know what? I always give him so much praise on him as a musician because he's a hell of a musician. Like, you know, but as an MC too, he'll burn a lot of these cats alive, flat out. You know, but just musically, you know, he's even Dilla, you know, Dilla used to say all the time that you would hear Denied beats, they crazy. And that was just the hip hop stuff, but he got so much soul. He's just a soul musician, man. He just makes soul. I can't wait. And if you listen to this Denied, man, you better stop being afraid to just damn put the real shit out, man. Pardon me. I love him. That's my brother.
People get this music from you? Because that just seems like there's lots of stuff around. You seem quite relaxed about there being music everywhere. I mean, Bilal ain't relaxed because his album's not coming out now.
Well, you know, I guess I wasn't another phenomenal artist, but not Bilal. But I'm also not in a position as Bilal. I wasn't on a label. I wasn't on a major, and I didn't have, you know, so because of my experience and. I left New Orleans pursuing rap, you know what I'm saying? Because at that time, when I left home, it wasn't really the outlet for music back at home on a mainstream scale wasn't there at all. It was kind of pre No Limit, pre Cash Money. Well, it was No Limit and Cash Money, but it was all local. And, you know, I left home back then, but my travels and everything I've been trying to do musically, professionally, for so long has just got me to a point now where I make music and you can have it. I want you to just I just want to share it with you. You know, don't get me wrong, I'm not gonna get up here and preach like I'm some. I want cake too, you know what I'm saying? Because just like I'm telling you, you know, my grandmother, she, if it wasn't for the Hurricane Katrina, she would still be in the projects. You understand what I'm saying? And right now she's living on in Uptown on Felicity Street. If you look out of her window, it's a fucking abandoned building, broken glasses, smokestacks. I want my grandmother to be able to go outside with some chickens and ducks and sheep and grass and a little pond and, you know, relax and play records, listen to her gospel music and be able to, because she sacrificed so much for me and my mom too, you know what I mean? And my sister, I want them to be able to have the best. And so that takes money. So I want money too, and I'm going to get money, but I'm comfortable knowing that I have the ability to be able to generate income in so many ways that I don't let it any, because it used to, I don't let it anymore influence what I do with my craft. You know what I mean? Because it's kind of like it cancels it out. Like, why you even do it in the first place? You know what I mean?
Are you going to be doing the? You haven't really answered my question now about the music. Doesn't matter.
What's the question? Sorry, you got to catch me a little bit. Oh no, I remember the question. Okay, yeah. Yeah, I'm okay with giving away free. And there's gonna be the official release will be Act 3.
When?
I can't say when.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why, because the whole act, it's all based on. I saw a movie called The Prestige. I'm a big Nikola Tesla fan. And I saw a movie called The Prestige that really inspired me, right? And it was, I've always been into magic since I was little, trying to get, you know, and I had never knew about the acts, like the Pledge, the Turn, and the Prestige. So Act 1 is The Pledge, Eternal Sunshine, The Pledge. Act 2, which is not out yet, which this is the first time, this podcast will be the first time ever that somebody even heard a peek of Act 2. People have been waiting on it. Act 2 is the Turn. And then The Prestige is Act 3, which will be the official release, you know. And I kind of want to, that's the way that I set out to do it. I want Act 2 to be a free release. Act 3, also it's gonna be a commercial release, but the proceeds of that is gonna go to the displaced families of specifically the Magnolia Projects in New Orleans. And then after that, we'll start getting into, you know, let's make some money, let's do some collabs, put some records out. But I'll still be doing the free stuff too, because that's just a part of me. But I just want to complete this assignment first, Act One, Act Two, Act Three, because just like if I was a magician, I'm not just because the crowd is saying, okay, yeah, we ready for Act Three, or we ready for da-da-da. No, you have to wait, and I want to do it the same way, you know. And Act Three will really, because it's not going to just be hip hop. It's going to be hip hop. It's going to be, you know, I'm a big Lightning Hopkins fan, and it's going to be a lot. Act Three is going to really be some out of this world type shit, but it's going to be a lot of commentary and everything in there, interviews, different things that's really going to explain a lot about who I am as a person and what the stuff that people hear coming up out of me. You know what I mean?
You also play a musician, instrument.
I used to.
You got a French horn.
Yeah, well, I used to put in New Orleans, we call it mellophone, and it's like a, it's not, it's the, okay, I played French horn too in a concert band in high school, but for parade season, which is Mardi Gras season in New Orleans, which is about a 2-week period where the marching bands, and it's a big thing in New Orleans. Marching bands battling, it's not like you go to other states and I see the bands, they do the dancing and all. No. In New Orleans, it's that guy with a mouthful of gold teeth with teardrops on his eyes for how many people he killed, all his people that died. If you put a trombone in that man's hand, he might blow your mind. That's just the kind of place New Orleans is. You know what I mean? It's very, you know, I remember coming home from high school where, of course, it's always been a territorial place. Everybody wears uniforms in New Orleans, so even the public schools, people know what school you was from. Maybe you have some fights with some cats, but any given moment, you could get off the bus and see a bunch of different schools gathered around a circle at a corner and two cats battling with their horns, you know, which is another thing, too, because it's like MCing, too, with a horn. But, yeah, I played baritone horn, not baritone saxophone. A lot of times I try to explain to people who haven't been really in a marching band and don't really know what the baritone horn is, but baritone, tuba, call it bass horn, and, you know, mellophone, which is French horn, but in New Orleans they call them F horns, and we had E flat horns at my school. I went to St. Aug, and I went there for the music because it was like one of the best schools for marching band and all that, you know.
So when the live performances come out, are you going to be doing it hip hop style? Are you going to actually do a sort of theatre production of Act 1, 2, 3?
Yeah, well, I won't really get into what Act 1, Act 2, and Act 3 is going to be, but Act 1 is a theatre production, where more like a vaudeville type of thing, where I got a big show coming up soon that we're going to put up. Me and Eric are organizing the thing along with our immediate family at the Box in New York City, and we're going to do... Is going to be.
It's a perfect spot because you've got the balcony.
Yeah, it's going to be. The look of it, the advertisements, the posters is going to be like we were in the 1800s and you were going to see, you know, an illusionist or a magician or, you know, contortionist or something like that. And it's going to be complete with ventriloquist dummies and all kind of stuff, you know? So.
You're gonna bring
that's
that over
for act,
here.
That's for Act One. That's you, for Act One.
You're gonna bring that over here as well into Europe.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Got to do that, right?
Definitely.
We've been talking for quite a while. We've done two CDs.
Yes, sir.
In fact, we didn't even realize that one CD had finished, so we were chatting away for ages and had to start again. What makes you laugh?
What makes me laugh?
Yeah.
You know what, man. People are just funny. Like, right. I'm everybody has a beautiful sense of humor. If you really, one thing I learned, people don't really listen to people. Like, you kind of just, and I'm like this too. You know, a lot of times I got something on my mind, I just want to express what I want to express. Even when you're talking, just wait for my turn to talk. But if you just listen, and when somebody telling a joke or just talking, and how they see, like, if you see a person snickering at something and you ask them, well, what's funny? Well, what's funny about that? And if you hear that, if you're actually listening to their reasoning for why that's funny, it'll be hilarious because it's not you. And if you just take the time to listen, it'll be hilarious too because you don't think that way. That's the way that person thinks, you know? But just, you know, I find so much stuff funny, man. I don't know.
Who's your favorite comedian? If you could just get entertained by one comic, who would it be?
Known or unknown?
Just inspire.
Okay, let me see.
Educate.
Let me see. Let me think about this for a second. I don't know. That's a hard one. You know, Erica's very funny. And you know, she'll be surprised to hear me say this, too, because she always says that I don't get her jokes and I don't laugh, you know. But she's hilarious. She's hilarious.
Do you get the difference when English people, because I always find sometimes, you know, what the English people tend to do a lot is we take the piss, which is basically like we make fun of people openly, and it's kind of like a love thing. But
but
sometimes I'll sort of do a little bit of piss taking in America in the wrong situation, and people don't take it right, and they look at me and it's wrong, because it's just the way it is. It's not like they haven't got it. It's just, but you get that.
Yeah, of course. And Erica's comedy is like that too, which is why a lot of times, you know, and I'm sensitive too. Let me tell you something. People from New Orleans are sensitive. I don't know why, but if you step on a man's shoe, or if he think that you disrespected him in any kind of way, you could be harmless about it. That's like, you know, you know, old, you watch the old movies and the guy will put his hand on his hip and slap you in the face with a glove, and then now y'all have to fight with a sword to the death. My grandmother's like that. The old lady, I'm not just talking about the hood, the old white lady picking flowers in the garden. She's like, New Orleans is just like that. So, and I say that kind of as a precursor to why, you know, Erica, she that's her comedy, and that's why a lot of times when she's hitting me with it, I don't laugh, but it's funny. But, but back at home, I guess, you know, people kind of, man, America's just a fucking uptight place, man. You know, you look on the news, oh, this disease, this was going on with the food, this how many people got killed last night, this is what's going on. And then you swallow all of that shit up, and you get up and you go to work, or you go to your church or your mosque or whatever, you in the supermarket with your grocery list, and you missing out on life. You know what I'm saying? So then when life comes, it's a strange thing, you know? Like, oh, this is a weird, oh, that's a funny That's not really good. That's not comedy, man. Well, you don't really know what comedy is, because you. And I'm not saying you, meaning you excluding me, because me too. I'm just as screwed, you know. But it's getting better, though. Like I said, dissatisfaction brings about change. I think that the world, even though people are generally dissatisfied all over the earth with everything, with normal life, with environment, with politics, finance, economics, even from third world, from anywhere, that we've come to such a point where we don't have anywhere to go but up, you know. And I was watching this documentary called The Possibility of Hope, which was on the bonus features of Children of Men DVD, and I forget the guy's name, but he's like a sociologist or whatever. And he was talking about when hope is born. He was talking about when you get to a point where there's absolutely no way out, and there's such despair, like, and when you cannot find a way out of the existing coordinates, then the human mind has to reach, and that's when the beauty happens, you know. And I think kind of like that is like with the process that we in right now, you know, musically and everything, art, film, everything just needs a renaissance. We just need an earth renaissance, man. And I just want to do my part and shake hands with all my human family, and let's do it.
To be continued. Thank you very much for coming to London. And
oh, man, it's an honor to be here. It's an honor to be here. You know what? Because I want to say this too, man. For some reason, man, I told you this yesterday. For some reason, London always, man, always. And this is, you know, this is just for me watching through my little telescope from my little bubble of the world. But over here, man, regardless of what the machine is doing, music, for some reason, man, the people never lose their umbilical cord, never gets cut from real good music, and it just is like stays alive. You know what I'm saying? And always able to bust through the sea, man. I mean, and if we could kind of learn what that is around the world, you know, it's a good thing. I'm honored to be here, man. Yes, sir. Peace.